I've had to speak professionally several times today.
Yeah.
I've had to be like business Josie mode. And some of it was in French.
Oh, no.
And then when...
They can't do business.
Je dirais pas ça. They might listen to this podcast.
they'll be like, let's have a meeting with the three of us. And you're just like, you just said threesome. You can't. I understand that this menage a trois is to talk about like orderly inputs or whatever.
Okay,
but.
Morning meetings at 10 a.m. Brings the wine.
And yeah, mischief. Oh, hilarious. But yes, you've been talking a lot.
Well, yeah. So I feel like I'm bringing a different vibe every time I come to this podcast now. I think it's a different one every time, especially because I think I was worried you were mad at me earlier today. I think I was worried you were mad at me. And so then I was like, okay, I've got to make sure I do my homework for Podcast Daddy. After I did the interview, it was like, okay, I've got to listen to all the tracks because otherwise Kieran's going to be mad at me.
Yep.
And then I listened to the mega mix that you sent and all your handy resource pack that you had ready to go.
Absolutely.
The mega mix was a bad mistake because it's too many aesthetics.
It's too many vibes.
I assumed it was going to be like not a printed out YouTube playlist, but like all of the full tracks side by side, so I wouldn't have to click on a bunch of different links. Instead, it's like 30 seconds of each one, and then I don't know what was happening. And also, especially because the crux of my theory, I have two main theories about the things. I think more so even than last year. Too many of them sound like we put all the Eurovision songs in a blender and this is what came out.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of them I listened to and they made no impression on me whatsoever besides like vague vibes.
Sure.
And also I feel like there are more women than before.
Oh, interesting.
Either that or I ignored the men. But I feel like more
maybe
women,
last year I was sexist.
It feels like more women and more women rapping in their native tongues.
Oh, interesting.
And that's been pleasant to me.
So yeah, let's get into it because we've started discussing it. Hello and welcome to Only Mr. God Knows, the mini series about Eurovision in the year that you don't watch the Eurovision.
Don't watch it.
Don't watch it. Don't do it. It's returning member of the council, the High Council of Eurovision opinions, a person who has yet to actually watch Eurovision live, I think.
In my life, no. I've watched it live. In my life, yeah.
But okay.
I think I explained this at great length last year. Yeah. I think it was mostly as a child. Oh, no. And then when I was bald a few years ago.
So update your Josie Parkinson lore folder.
In the time when I was bald and sad.
Yeah.
And I watched it with a lot of frozen like potato snacks with my brother and his very pregnant wife.
Oh, yes. You mentioned this last year. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
There was a...
This is
flashback.
No, I just make that noise now.
Oh, okay, yeah. So, media understander, Italian Adam Driver understander, Josie Parkinson has returned to the council to give us her opinions.
Si. Comprende.
Comprende.
That's me.
Me, Adam Driver.
Bellissimo.
What's Adam, driver in Italian?
Conduiro. No.
Cargo.
I could find my mom and ask. I don't think she...
We couldn't possibly find out the word driver in Italian from the internet. The only way is to call my mom.
I'm trying to be less online. And so instead of Googling, I'm calling my mom.
Be more a good daughter.
What if maybe we should just, you know, Google search is getting worse.
Google automated
more.
Our mom.
Like, yeah, let's just all call our moms when we want to ask a question. Like, don't, if you want to find out what time movie in your area screening, just phone your mom.
Like, it would just be like me like calling my mom to be like, like, it's like, hey Karen, what's up? It's like, did Timothy Chalamet like, was he like Me Too? Just like the things I put into Google. Or just like Indian food question mark. Yeah, so
no, I'm actually proposing that. Oh, I see you. I've just seen
your own face.
Screen, and he's sharing my face.
I am, yes.
As everyone aspires to do.
I just every day I share a picture of my friend Josie's face to all of my friends and family.
It's okay.
I also put it into Google. As we understand, has replaced my mom.
Oh wait, it's replaced your mom and your mom. So Google's replaced your mom and your mom's replaced Google. So Google is now nurturing you.
Yes, my mom's now asking. Hang on, I have to see what, like, it's always like a fucking terrifying mix of things. Of, like, what are my most recent searches?
I googled Elizabeth Moss for some time earlier today. Turns out she is pregnant.
So yeah, I would ring up my mom and be like, where is Lindt from?
What?
Yeah.
Oh, as in the chocolate.
Yeah, DT Lindt. Yeah, like where. But also, like, that's fabric. That is a good Google question, right? Like, where, what the fuck's Lindt? What is Lindt?
I think, mom, Hack Season 3. Mom, Dune 2 IMAX Berlin. Mom, M. Night Shyamalan.
Mom, average Dax Hunt weight.
Mom, Samsung S24 versus Google Pixel Pro comparison. This is
Mom, kettle with metal handle, famous designer.
I think this is good that I as always, I am sponsored. To my appearances here are sponsored, and I am sponsored by Call Your Mom instead of Google.com.
Which they're having real problems with the top level domain, so just Google that. Okay. So it is Eurovision o'clock at this time of year. It is the boycott year. There is a document in the description. If anyone wants to listen to the songs in advance, I have compiled a document that you can peruse that is a link to all the songs in a way that you can listen to, in which the EBU, Eurovision itself, does not make any money. So with that out of the way, Josie was good and also did this, and now is going to bring up some songs. Or do you want to talk about the general vibes first, so that you already brought up? Because
yeah, I think this is
more girls.
Last year, I did a more thorough comments on all of the
I remember tracks. The famous metric of would I be proud of them if they were my niece?
Yeah,
that was a great metric.
I did think about that. I think I'm not that proud of that many of them this year. I think, and I feel like the villains are pretty standard. They're not going to be surprising to
the
you.
The villains, you
well,
villains.
Not villains, but like the people that like.
I like this though. I like.
I think the thing is, and also now that I've known my niece for a bit longer, the thing is, I would be proud of anyone if they were my niece. But would I enthusiastically share the clip with my friends?
Oh right. That's a different thing, yeah.
You know, like you might be proud of your niece, but you might not be like, hey everyone, listen to what my niece did.
Yeah, you're not sending off the group email in the office.
She's dizzy with your kisses. She wrote it herself.
Yeah, okay. But I also like this idea of villains as a concept for Eurovision.
Really? I feel like that's pretty established.
Okay.
I feel like the villains, obviously France.
France is a villain, is it?
Yeah, France is. It really gave me like last year's San Marino guy, but like not horny.
Okay.
Arguably the only thing he had going for
him. That's such an allegation, because yes, I agree. Last year's San Marino guy was a villain. The guy who yelled into the microphone, come to me, I want to smell you like an animal.
Yeah.
You're comparing that to. Okay. So I think something that happens is like. Okay. So Josie Parkinson.
Hello.
Hello. comprenez-vous français?
Ouais, je comprends le français.
Okay. Yes.
I'm just doing it in a Scooby Doo voice.
Fun fact, everyone.
Scooby-Doo.
In the French dub of Scooby-Doo, everyone has normal voices.
Sorry, I just want to double check that this existed.
Hmm.
The plastic threads you could weave were called Scooby-Doos from the past?
Oh, no. No, I do not remember this at all.
Oh,
it sounds like a thing that was, like, I remember being hawked a bunch of cheap shite when I was a kid. It sounds like a real thing.
It was, like, weird. Like, you'd weave these, like, long plastic spaghettis, and they were called Scooby-Doos. I've just remembered that. Please write in and let me know if I hallucinated that because of doing too many things today.
Just all the comments be like, I think you're thinking of Livestrong bracelets. Just completely off base.
Yeah, like, I just because I was very I've always had a very porous mind and a gullible brain. So if you could tell me anything was called anything, and I'm going to believe you probably.
That's fair.
So especially in 2005, it wasn't at my best critical thinking time.
No.
Anyway, French. I wasn't trying too hard to understand what he was saying, to be honest, because I think the thing is, I listened to the Megamix version where he's just sort of being like, basically, je sais pas si tu m'aimes ou pas, and it's a pas from me. But that like, it was like right at the top of the like belty ballad bit, and then that was when I sent a video clip to Kieran of me looking very upset.
Yeah, so I think my running theory at the moment is that like people who understand French, at least somewhat, do not like this song. Because I have heard French people complain that this is like, oh, this is the stuff we send every year. And it's just like, you don't understand. Like, us non-French people love when it's just like, man, sad about having too many affairs, or like, woman in beret being kind of sexy.
It's very boring. I don't know if I would like it more if I didn't understand it.
Just said the woman from Ratatouille every year. It'd be great. We would love that.
Yeah. The thing is, like, France is capable of France is capable of such like perfect freaks.
Mm.
And a few weeks ago, I started watching like the comedies of like Quentin Dupieux, who came up with a film called Fumé Fait Tousser, which has
yes, you showed me some of this. Yeah,
it has like cigarette superheroes in it,
yeah,
who are all called things like methanol and ammoniac and nicotine, and then they fight creatures by blasting them with chemicals, and then they explode.
Yeah,
and then that's not even the whole movie. The whole movie is actually about people telling stories people telling horrible stories at the end of the world. And listen,
yeah,
they do really fun disco music when they want to. Why don't they send that instead of like, moi je suis sad?
Yeah, because I know what's happening with the French entry this year is because like that guy's from like X Factor, or like a French equivalent of X Factor. He's had like 4 albums so far. 3 out of 4 of them have come number 1 in like the French charts, and then another one like came second. And it's all just like, my understanding is what they're trying to do in France at the moment is get more people in France to watch the Eurovision.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Because like,
what are French people doing?
They're not watching the Eurovision. It's the viewership is going down apparently in France.
Yes, because
so.
They keep sending bullshit.
Well, we're going to try it again. Because like the other scandal is like, do you remember the lady last year?
Yes, I remember her shapes.
Her shapes.
Remember the shape of her costume?
Yeah.
So
she's Québécois, and like some French people got angry about that, and then like other
she's
people
Québécoise.
Were Québécoise. Sorry. Because she's a lady, is this? Yes. All right. Okay, I remember now. Ugh. Ugh. Like I know German also does this, but ugh.
Québécoiser.
Québécoisine. So they sent this lady, and it very much seems like the lady who was picked last year was picked because the woman, the like, which is like the ultimate French shit, the woman in charge of like picking the person for France just kind of like developed a crush on her and wanted to have like an adult like experimental affair with her. It's a whole thing. There's a lot being implied there, but the other kind of like scandalous thing at the moment is that she was told to dye her hair blonde last year,
Was it blonde?
Yeah, it was like blonde tips, highlights kind of thing going on in her hair.
I feel like you hardly saw her hair. Why would that be necessary?
Well, so she wouldn't look like an Arab, was the stated reason.
Oh, France.
Yeah. France. La France. that's what she alleges anyway, and she's taking them to court over it, so.
Yeah, good.
Yeah. But also, yeah, she was apparently a massive diva as well, and would just like,
I would be a diva if they made me dye my hair so I look less like an Arab.
Yeah, probably. I would also,
like, I think
I would do it for less.
Yeah, like
I would take advantage of this like very attractive 50-year-old woman who's crushing on me way too hard. And was like, I need a new hotel room.
I would say everyone should be a diva for justice. Like,
yeah, all right, yeah.
It's in my rider that you have to be nice to me and treat me fairly.
It's in my rider, don't be kind of racist.
Yeah.
So France is one that's kicking around, and yeah, they're not trying to win, but they are just trying to like boost their internal ratings by the sounds of things.
Okay, they're doing badly with the audience of known Francophile Josephine Parkinson.
Yes, the Josies.
Josephine Parkinson. It's going bad for me. Yeah, I was so upset. I'm always so ready to like French stuff, and then the second this guy started yelling at me from my computer, I was like, nah, man.
Well, that is also the thing that he's like showing off, because whenever he does it live, he has like the microphone like 6 feet away from his face.
Okay.
Yeah, he's got pipes.
Like, okay. Here's my other thought that I had.
Yeah.
That is also like a overall thing. I feel like I realized while watching this today that I don't actually want Eurovision music to move me. I don't want, as in like, I don't want to feel like uplifted or sad.
Mm.
A lot of it, honestly, like it sort of, for the UK viewer, it fulfills the need of like, I've always thought other countries are kind of weird, and now I know I'm right.
Yeah, this is how British people have reacted to Eurovision, yes.
But also like,
and it was like, why won't they like us when we try to be weird?
But this is the thing, because also like, we talked about this a lot last year, that there's like, it also has to be a very specific flavor of weird, where it's not trying too hard, like Finland this year, oh my god. And it has to be like, I think then I was actually pleasantly surprised by a couple of ones this year that were like, felt new and surprising to me, but in a way that didn't feel like it was trying to hit me over the head with how freaky they were.
Yeah, so there's aspects of like, so the UK, I think, attitude to Eurovision is always just the like, the person who's trying too hard to be cool and they don't realize they're actually ruining everyone else's fun.
Yeah, the UK is like Steve Buscemi in the kid costume, like kind of how are you doing fellow kids kind of thing when it comes to trying to be weird at Eurovision, or like feel it. Maybe it's not that, because I feel like it's the UK feels like they're too cool for it, and then when they, and that makes it even more embarrassing when they try and do something a bit weird. Like, I feel like the UK entry is so cringe because although like I've no problem with Ollie Alexander. I feel like he's a good performer, but the song just sucks ass.
It's very mid,
and it's weirdly like, and I feel like that they tried to do, it's so weird because I think the trend seems to be shifting towards more songs in people's native languages, because like I think the Eurovision style English is not the best, and it does sort of just mean like novelty laugh at it value rather than anything more than that, and so it feels weird they try to like write a song in European English.
Yeah, so I think there's been three big influences in recent years, which if I can think, that would be like 2.75 in like native language. So you had last year, who came second? Carrier, Finland, cha cha cha.
Oh, I'm glad he came in second.
Yeah, we all wanted him to win.
I know, but like, of course. But I was trying to remember. I felt like he did really well, but I couldn't remember how well he did. But
he won the televote, but he didn't win the juries. Yeah, so there's a couple of people who are like kind of copying him and are going like the thing that he kind of showed everyone is that there's like there's room for kind of like this fun spectacle thing that isn't like super predictable. And again, that song all in Finnish. The other one would be, which is what's influencing all the girlies, is Chanel Slow Mo from like 3 years ago now, from 2021. She came third. No, 2022. She came third. And yeah, came third, did well with the televote. Very, very sexy dance. The chorus was in like English, but the rest of it was in Spanish. And she kind of like influenced this kind of like pop singing, like the lady pop thing has now introduced like the dance breaks. Which like wasn't a thing before and is like a huge problem because one, a lot of people aren't very good at dance breaks, or two, they aren't good at doing the dance break and then immediately singing in a non-breathy way afterwards. She was quite good at it. Not a lot of people can do that. The kind of like, there's a lot of people who say this consensus of like, if Ukraine hadn't been invaded, she would have won. She came third that year, but like, I don't know how true that is. Anyway, the other influence I think would probably be like Serbia's entry from the same year.
Oh, that's the one that you love so much, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that was like very, very serious, very good at like communicating a point, but again, all done in Serbian. And like, yeah, I think that's influenced things probably like the Netherlands and stuff like that. But yeah.
I think it's nice. But I feel like also just to do this, if this feels like a real like middle age thing to do, but just to make a massive generalization based on one thing I've noticed in my life personally.
Okay, yeah, absolutely.
Well, I feel like maybe I've also read that I think people are getting a bit more used to consuming content in a different language because of like the availability of like foreign like Netflix shows in different languages that like, people can watch.
Yeah,
and I think there's like slightly, I think there's just slightly more comfort with it than there was like when we were growing up. Like, I think,
yeah, I think there's it's really weird. Actually, this is a question I asked on the last episode when I did this with Uma and Nick, but actually, which region of Europe do you think is actually the biggest offender of like always sends English?
I don't have as good of a historical knowledge for that as you, so like, I'm not sure. But I would have thought it would be like the smaller kind of like Baltic countries or Balkans. I mean, Georgia sent one in English this year and also last year, famously.
Sure. your favorites from last year.
Not as good this year.
Thing is not known.
Thing is not known. Secret I know. See, if you're going to do Eurovision English, go whole hog.
Yeah, or like Armenia, where they like still like last year's Armenia entry, where they stole the phrases from like Tumblr posts and then got them wrong.
Yeah, let's see. Like, yeah, you have to. It has to be. It's like camp. It is camp. It's you can't do it on purpose. You have to. What did they say?
What region? So the actual answer is the Nordics.
The Nordics.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, of course. That's really obvious. I don't know why.
Yeah, you're that. Because this is the thing. Like, this has always been the problem with the UK. Like, I think UK always focuses on like the really weird stuff because the weird stuff I think distracts from like how shit they are at the competition. And then because the other side of it is like, oh, we're above it. We have such a strong music industry. Blah blah blah. I was like, well, Sweden writes every pop song.
Yeah,
and they bring that kind of like. Like, I hate Sweden the competition because it's like very polished and it's very clean all the time, and I'm not super interested in that, but like it is objectively good usually. Like, it's competent, and it's because it's the same people who write like every fucking NSYNC song, or like, yeah, who like writes the current band NSYNC.
Why does Sweden hold this power?
ABBA.
No, but like, is there like a school for Swedish songwriters that means that they're like pumping out?
So ABBA was, if you ever do like, fun thing people can do at home is you can get YouTube videos of like every winner of Eurovision, like, it's a mega mix of just, like, a couple of seconds of the song every year in order. And, like, ABBA comes along in 1974. I was like, oh, it's good now. Like, literally, everything beforehand was kind of, like, shite. And, like, not of the standard of pop music at the time. ABBA comes along and invents being, like, making good music for Eurovision. And that happened by complete fluke. But then the Swedish state saw how much soft power they were getting from Swedish band, and now they just invest a shit ton in music. Nick always tells the story of, like, he knew someone who was a session musician, like, for a metal band in Sweden, who basically got state funding from Sweden to tour the United States. What? And then the pandemic happened and they had to cancel the tour, and Sweden was just like, you can keep the money.
What?
They didn't ask for it back. Like, Sweden just, like, their soft power is music. So they just give a lot of state money into it.
I guess I don't know what I thought their soft power was.
IKEA.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, my dad spent a lot of time there during my childhood.
Sure.
So they...
Hanging out with ABBA.
had a big stake in my dad.
Actually, our soft power is dads. We invent dads.
Wow. Yeah. Mad. Okay. This is good. I love getting this, like, annual gossip update from you.
Yeah. And then, like, I guess other Nordics kind of competed. So, like, not all of them. Like, Denmark is the, like, black sheep. Denmark is always, like, kind of shit at Eurovision.
Yeah. Yeah. Sand.
Yeah.
Sand.
Rhyming sand with hand is just, like, yeah, immediately disqualified. It, no, just get out of here.
It just makes me think of the, like, you know, video from The Simpsons. You know, the, like, there's, like, an episode when they just show the film in class because the teacher's sick, and it's just they just get the end of it. It's like sand.
Oh, it's like a documentary about sand. Yeah, it's not great.
And that's, so I think if they'd entered that, it would have done
great. That would have been so much better.
Yeah.
But yeah, Iceland, Denmark, Norway, and Sweden pretty much always send songs in English. Norway has sent a song in Norwegian this year, which is, like, in the last 18 years they've only done that twice, including this time.
Wow. Which one was that?
It's like a metal-ish kind of song. It's got a Norwegian title that I can't pronounce.
Okay.
Yeah. People like it.
I'm just trying to remind myself.
Who else do you got?
Well, the first one that I liked immediately and was like, yeah, man, was Armenia.
Oh, yeah. Armenia's a lot of fun.
That's fun. I had no idea. Like, this is fulfilling a lot of the good things, because I also had no idea that, like, you know, when you don't know anything about the nations, sort of, like...
it's not that fun to be Armenian right now.
Well, yeah, there's that too. Like,
the song is tricky.
We gotta do Armenia support.
Yeah.
But also, like, I had no idea that's what, like, their traditional, sort of, like, some of their traditional music vibes. It sounds very, like, Central Asian in a very cool way.
Mm.
I felt like it's, like, fun and dancey. It's, like, doesn't sound like something I've heard before.
Yeah.
It sounds closer than anything to, like, Bollywood stuff.
Hmm.
Yeah, go. I don't have anything interesting to say about it.
There's a traditional rhythm in that song that I think features quite heavily in a lot of, like, that, like, is from Armenian traditional music, and then was incorporated in a lot of Armenian jazz, which became very popular at the time. And then also famous Armenian Californian band, System of a Down.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, they use a lot of that, like, syncopated rhythm.
They do. Ah,
but it's very fun. It's a very fun song.
Yeah,
Jacko.
Yeah.
Other standout song?
Does credit to other famous Armenian Cher.
Cher Armenian?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
She, well, clearly you don't believe in life after love. Yeah, she's Armenian. I'm just looking. So I didn't at first listen. Baby Lasagna is really annoying as a name.
Sure.
And also because I
should tell you, when I encountered that name, I immediately messaged Nick, being like, this is a Nick Instagram handle.
Now I like it again.
Yeah.
I think if Nick said it, in his voice and doing his like ooh woo face, being like little baby lasagna, then I would like it. I forgot to maybe make clear for the listeners that also I had a two-factor program of like listening to the songs, the sort of music videos on my computer, and then some of the live ones on my computer as well, and then listening to some of them on Spotify on the way over here. And it's a sunny day in Berlin, and some of them got to benefit from the walking along in the sun in the street feeling a little bit cute test.
Oh, of course.
And that changed the vibe for some of them. So I didn't notice or really enjoy the baby lasagna one, and then on the train I was like, is this new metal? Which I think it sort of is. I was suddenly like, what?
Yeah.
So it was fun. Greece passed the feeling cute test.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
That was great fun.
Yeah.
Shaking your ass. Absolutely. On your way walking around.
Did you see the music video? The music video is fucking chaotic.
I saw bits of it. I think I mostly noticed her outfits.
Okay, fair enough. All right.
But I think that was a good one. I liked Italy.
Yeah, fair enough.
I quite like that one. Illinois. I think Zari is the
Zari is the Greek one. Yeah.
I didn't re-listen to it on the way over, but I also liked Estonia more than I would have expected.
Oh yeah, 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 yeah. Everyone like, I think I've told the story already on the podcast, but like, it's a rap group and a folk group that have gotten together for this like one song for like doing Eurovision, and it's been such a fucking success that like, a month ago they announced they're just gonna make an album.
Oh, that makes sense actually, because so what I quite liked about it is that so I was kind of expecting, I feel like maybe you sent me or made me aware of the like Finland's entry this year a few months ago.
Yeah.
And so I kind of was feeling extra sensitive to people trying to be weird than I even was last year.
Sure.
And what I really liked about the Estonia one is that it felt like it wasn't doing that, but it still made something like new and surprising, and I get it would make sense that it's like a combination of two different styles like that.
It's
two distinct artists
before. Nuts and gum together at last, yeah, kind of situation.
It was good. I would hang out at that homeless encampment that they're
they're partying from. Deindustrialized Soviet factory. The song is the song title translates as "We do not do drugs."
Okay, I don't believe them, but that's fine.
That's the point of the song. Oh. They're saying it so often that it's like, oh, you do drugs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was there anyone else that I really liked? Yeah, I just wrote Armenia, Estonia, and Greece.
Oh, really? Okay.
For like ones that I actually like, and then there's a couple ones that are okay. Like, I think... I thought Ukraine was okay. I liked the rap. Like I said, Italy also sort of okay. I think a lot of them are pretty inoffensive to me.
Yeah, that's fair.
I think like great engaging podcast content.
don't become aware of it.
Marcus and Martinez is unforgettable.
Oh,
paradoxically, pretty forgettable.
Oh, that's what everyone says.
Okay, no, but one thing I did write.
You don't love the Norwegian twins from Sweden?
Wow, diversity. What I did write in huge letters is what I would like to ask about is Nemo's The Code.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Because this was one where I was like, I kept changing my mind about whether I wanted to like it or not. And then I wrote in huge letters, sing in Schweizerdeutsch, you coward. Because one of the videos on your playlist has like a woman introducing it in Schweizerdeutsch. And I was like, I want to hear someone doing falsetto saying like, hoogie boogie.
Hoobly goobly doobly.
What do you think about it?
I like Nemo. Oh yeah, okay. So do you want me to reveal the odds at this point?
Not yet.
Okay, later. I really like Nemo. I think of like the seriouser, like the less kind of like get up and fucking punch someone in the face, throw a chair against the wall kind of songs, which is usually what I go for. I'm a huge, like, fun...
Throw your chair against the wall songs?
You never had that kind of, like... You've not been in the pit too much, where it's just like...
The Eurovision pit?
The Eurovision pit. All right, you know, it's like
is that your plan for Eurovision? Is that why you wanted all that extra space so that for the
trash? Well, no, the school's getting moved out of that building. We can trash in there, right? No, like the kind of like the I think the kind of songs I enjoy are the ones that get me amped, right? Like of just like let's fucking go, kind of like the kind of like I want to punch someone in the face in a good way, kind of vibe.
Have you ever punched someone in the face in a good way?
No comment. But
you have a dark past.
I'm a dad. I'm an inoffensive dad. Yeah, so I quite like the songs that do that. I quite like Rim Tim Taggy Dim for that reason. I quite like Oido Papa by the Netherlands for that reason, which we'll come back to that. You have thoughts, I'm sure. I quite like Jacko, like I like Armenia's for that reason. It's a real kind of like it's fun. Like yeah. I think the word is fun, basically.
Yeah. You want to have fun at Eurovision?
Yeah,
it's a party. Don't make me try and feel things.
No, it's my party. I can cry if I want to,
which is not at all ever, apart from exactly when I want to. Actually, though.
Yeah, right.
I know. I think I'm on the record as loving crying, but not at Eurovision.
Check that in your Josie Parkinson lore binder at home.
I've definitely publicly said that I love crying.
The Nemo, their song is, I think, of the kind of more like what lazily you would call like ballads, is like the one I really like this year. Mm-hmm. And I like quite a bit. People were very unsure of their ability because Switzerland released the music video first. And just like, obviously, the music video is the studio recording and stuff. And then, like, clips circulated of them performing the chorus. And that was like, people were like, oh shit. Because, like, the chorus is this falsetto, as you're saying, and they perform it very, very well without any studio assistance. And then. It's not impressive in the Megamix if you just watch the Megamix video because they just show that.
Mm.
But when you see them like go from that chorus into the kind of like rap or kind of like regular kind of sing-songy verses, it's quite impressive.
Mm.
I also like the music video quite a bit, and I'm not sure they could recreate that on stage, but yeah.
I mean, I think I was like, I was really impressed by the falsetto, and then I think I felt more like I was having to chop and change. I was feeling that the effort having to switch genre for some reason, each thing. And I think I would rather have like, rather than it felt like it went between three different styles. And I think I felt like, and I on my tired afternoon, I wanted, but also, you know, I didn't know they had any, queer people in Switzerland, so.
Which is fair. Like they women's suffrage only came to the entire country in like 1989.
This is great. They found one, and I feel like they do deserve center stage, especially with this much talent.
This is the I have to claim it for Ireland because this is the second non-binary.
Yeah, that's
because the Irish song this year came out. Like the artist was announced first, and Bambi Thug is also non-binary.
Yeah.
So like, no, Ireland was first, even though like Nemo is probably going to do a good deal better.
I think I was pretty neutral on the Bambi Thug song, to be honest.
Yeah, they're definitely making it into the final. Which Ireland at this moment would consider a win because we haven't made it into the final for a long time.
Oh, really?
Yeah. We have the most wins, but we've sucked shit since basically the Eastern European countries joined.
Mm. Yeah.
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 So I'm trying to look at the other songs that have made it.
Wait,
into
last year you played little clips of the songs.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I don't have that set up this year. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Well, I did it in episode one of Only Mr. God Knows when I did like my pregame analysis, but YouTube was like, there's so many copyright violations in this. So actually, reminder, hey, if you listen to our podcast on YouTube and you didn't see episode one of Only Mr. God Knows, that's why. But you can still get on the regular podcast feed. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, you can.
Yeah. So actually, I'm just going to go through some of the songs that you haven't mentioned that have made it into my rotation, who have made it into Music to Burn a Lidl To playlist.
To Burn Lidl To?
Yeah, to burn, hang on, I have to show you this playlist. It's a very long playlist that is just like, and it's got a picture of Macron in front of a lot of gold.
Burn a Lidl To.
Yeah, Music to Burn a Lidl To. Which again, I think describes the kind of like, you know, vibe I go for when, what songs appeal to me. So Nemo's The Code has made it into that. Okay. Rim Tim Taggy Dim, Baby Lasagna has made it into that. Zari by Marina.
That was like, I think that was the one that felt most like it would fit most seamlessly into an existing playlist of mine, I think.
Oh, really?
The Zari one. I think that was like, because I think actually, even though I've said a lot of not very much in terms of strong opinions so far, I think I feel like there was a surprising number this year of songs that didn't feel like novelty, pure novelty, just like, oh yeah, this is a fun Eurovision pop song. There was ones that was like, oh yeah, this is good.
Yeah. This would be at home with normal music.
yes, I believe there's two kinds of music, normal and
Eurovision. Another one. I do actually quite like Unforgettable by Marcus and Martinez.
I mean, vaguely enjoyed the like the boy pop band. Is that what they called? Pop group?
Yeah, boy band. It's a boy band.
Boy
yeah.
band like vibe.
Aspect. For me, it's the kind of like 2006 French House resurgence vibe of it.
Okay.
Of when they had like, do you remember like,
no,
Kalinsky and like Justice that happened at this time? Remember when like French music that was kind of like Daft Punk inspired kind of came back in the like mid 2000s?
Not really. I was listening to My Chemical Romance then.
Alright, it was at the same time. But like, yeah, they have that little like kind of like breakdown bit, and I'm like, I'm liking that. I could take or leave Marcus and Martinez. They are very interchangeable for me, the Norwegian twins. But
wait, do you have stats on how well twins perform in Eurovision?
It's like, it's them and Jedward
and the Armenian twins.
Oh, the Armenian, well, they know the Azerbaijani twins.
Azerbaijani.
And they ate shit.
because
they kept coming.
How well? But I want to know if they're more or less like overrepresented in terms of population density of twins in Eurovision. Like, are there more twins in Eurovision than anywhere else?
I would say they are overrepresented compared to baseline population. Yeah. Yes, yeah, definitely.
Are there any more twins?
This year, no.
No, in the past.
I only remember the twins that loved...
Pull up your graph of the twins.
Computer.
Were there ever...
Star Trek computer.
Were there ever any triplets? Have there been any triplets?
I don't think there's been any
triplets.
All I remember, like, before I really got into it, there was the age arms race that occurred that forced junior Eurovision into existence.
Oh, trying to get younger and younger babies to sing.
Yeah, appeal to the grandmothers. Yeah.
Oh, because you were telling me about grandmothers and horniness last year.
It's a huge part of Eurovision appeal is the grandparents who are watching at home. So like, they would just send like babies, and then they had to make a rule that like the minimum age is 16, which is Cyprus this year. Cyprus is a 16-year-old, which is very funny because her song's about like, you're a lying man. I'm like, you don't have any experience.
You're a lying boy, man. Yeah. I would be proud of her if she was my niece.
That's good. Another song that has made it into my
Suck It To Me
is We Will Rave. Austria's entry by Colleen.
I think if I listened to it in a different context, I think it was the first one that I played, I think, because it's in the A's. I think I was like,
yeah, it's pretty early.
I think that's probably one of the first ones, and then I think I was like definitely not feeling like raving. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, are you? But then I felt slightly better about it when I heard it passively while on the train.
Yeah, that's fair.
I feel like I'm being such a hater this year.
No, that's fair. You can be a hater. You're going to be a judge this year. You're a jury member, you know?
Yeah. True. I got to be... And I do feel more educated than I did a year ago.
I've exposed you to this before.
I feel like... Because we've done a lot of podcasts together now, and we've talked a lot more, I think, in the last 18 months, 2 years, than we did previously in my life, mm-hmm. due to not knowing each other very well before then.
Yeah, that's fair.
The way the friendship generally works.
Yeah.
And you are in my head now, and the grandmother thing, when I was doing my Eurovision homework earlier today, that was swimming around in my head. There's little bits of things that are finally like starting to seep in.
Who's going to appeal to like the nans?
My Kieran training is finally.
Actually, young boy twins appeal to the nans. I think the nans love a Marcus and Martinez.
Yeah, the only thing better than one grandson is two grandsons.
Yeah, exactly. And also, like,
clone my grandson now.
Naming twin children basically identical names.
Jed and Wood.
That's not their names.
No, because one of the two halves are the same. Jed and one's Wood, and then together they're Jedward, no?
And their last name's Grimes. Jedward Grimes really does sound like a hardball
detective.
They're
the first Grimes?
They're the first
Grimes. They're the original Grimes?
Do they predate Grimes? But no, like, naming two twins basically identical names, like giving your like alliteration, like twin boys alliteration names, is definitely something that you would not do for your own children, but what something you would want your children to do for their children. It's like a real kind of like grandmother energy, I think. Like,
I never thought about that.
Like, I would not name, if I had twin children, I would not name them like
Bora and Gora.
Yeah, or like Jimbus and Jumbus or whatever. Traditional Irish names, Jimbus and Jumbus.
I might name them Jimbus and Jumbus.
I'm not against that.
Listen, if we find out in a few years' time that I got twins called Jimbus and Jumbus, don't call me out. I couldn't resist.
But like, yeah, like, you can't name your kids Marcus and Martinez, but it is definitely something I would encourage my kids to name their kids.
Yeah, I think it's just, it is fun for everybody else, but if you are actually invested in the child rearing and
it's
raising,
it's fun for everyone,
you know,
but the parents.
It. And the children also.
Yeah.
I think it's a really good way of like being like, you are a sideshow, you freaks.
It is really akin to like getting a kid a very loud present. Because it's like, it's fun for you, but you don't live with the kid.
Yes. Oh, man. Would you have ever wanted a twin? I feel like I'd like to have had a twin.
You mean like a twin of you? You mean like a twin brother, like a twin sister, brother? Like,
yeah.
That's what you're asking.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, because I was the youngest, so I was spoiled. I'm not sharing this throne with anyone.
Yeah. See, I want someone to share the pain of being in the middle. Just to be.
Oh yeah, you can offset being in the middle by having another.
Yeah, but just like instead of bunk beds, being like, I see you, you exist. We're gonna show them all one day.
So what you're saying is you want to be like the antagonist in a Japanese horror movie.
Oh, it's so sweet. Sorry, I did my Japanese horror whisper instead of my beautiful child whisper.
When you watch this tape, two drowned women come out of it, but they're really supportive of one another. They will
That's
kill you.
Beautiful. They'll hold that. They'll just hold hands while doing it.
Yeah. The reason you can't defeat them is because they just support each other so much.
I would love to watch that. We need more stories of female friendship and sisterhood.
Yeah, that seems like a kind of like the swath of female comedy movies we got in like the early 2010s would be like the horror movie from the other perspective of like, you are the ring girl.
Exactly. It's Bridesmaids, but they're both the ring girls.
They're all the ring girls.
Maya Rudolph is the ring girl.
The ring girl. Melissa McCartney is the ring girl.
They're all, oops, all ring girls. Yeah, they could do that.
And it gets canceled because none of them are Japanese.
Yeah. Wait, what are some other songs you want to say to me?
Yeah, so before we get into to the odds rankings, the last one, because you pulled a face when I brought it up and has made it into my rotation, is Europapa by Joost Klein.
Yeah, so yeah. I don't know if I was prejudiced against it because of the fact that there was like I think I saw the, because of the Mega Mix, and there was the music video where he has like the face and the shoulders, and I was like,
most people have faces.
He's got a scary face and scary shoulders.
Stop trying to pitch this Ring
talk about
film.
Talk about Guy from the Ring. It was, yeah, and I think I was like, it made me feel tired.
It did
make me think of you, because I was like, is this the kind of like Europe dunking that is the bread and butter of the Cornish Beatty podcast, or is
Cornish Beatty game? Yeah. Legally, we are not a game. Yeah.
Or is it sort of thing where it's like no, you can't do it. You can't make fun of yourself.
Yeah. So this is something that is, I'm starting to see the, and we've got comments from people in earlier episodes of this podcast. I'm starting to see the issue with Europapa, which is no one knows what it's about. And I think once you know what it's about, it's a bit better.
Is it about Europe?
No.
Oh.
Everyone's focusing on the Euro part and is not focusing on the Papa part. Is the problem of the song.
Would you describe yourself as an Europapa?
I think yes, I guess. I think I don't think I was able to decide that. I guess I could have not had kids. every papa on this continent is an Europapa. No, so like the whole thing with Joost Klein is that he lost both of his parents when he was 12.
What?
He's from poor family. His dad died of a heart attack. No, sorry, his dad died of cancer, and then his mom died of a heart attack within the year. And all the song's lyrics are like, "Ich bin in Deutschland, aber ich bin so allein." Like, what? Solo in Italia, but I still feel the pain. The whole story of the song is that his dad always said that one day they were going to travel together, and then he died. And he's talking about like, oh, I can now, as like a carefree like 20-something, I can travel Europe and it's really easy and cheap, but I just miss you all the time. But like, I totally understand that the entire song is in Dutch and no one seems to be arriving at this point, and they just kind of like, yeah. I don't get the lyrics.
Yeah. Well, now I feel bad.
You feel bad that you made fun of Joost Klein?
Yes.
Yeah, because
I thought
like,
it was just trying to be funky kooky.
Yeah, because like it's the whole like, welcome to Europe, stay here till you die. Mm. I would like this to be in English, please.
Wait, hang on. I want to see if I can. We can work together to understand it. Oh, you translate it already.
Translate. I'm sorry.
So use my imagination. Do you have a Europe? Thank you.
Like, I don't have any money for Paris, so use my imagination. It was just like about how he was poor when he was young. Mm. I've lost everything except time. So I'm traveling the world because the world is mine. Yeah, the other issue, which I'm still very curious about, is that the music video has a little bit of extra kind of like piano heartful part that isn't in the studio release of the song, and I wonder if it's actually going to be on the night as well.
Mm.
Do they have that in? No, they don't. They don't have that in the lyrics version as well. This is very frustrating because that, like, that part is like the entire heart of the song explained. I think they're going to have a real problem of like,
yeah.
Spain, I think, is also going to have this problem of like it's in Spanish and the song becomes so much better when people actually know what the song is about.
Yeah.
Because that song is about like how women can do basically nothing right, you'll still get called a slut. Because the song Zora, which is like female fox, which is the Spanish slang term for slut.
Really? Okay, yeah. Okay.
It was really funny because like all the like Google automated translate of like the national selection process. I still have a screen cap to my phone. It's like, this song is for all the sluts out there. I'm like, yeah. Yeah, so like, yeah, I think both of those songs might suffer from...
Does that mean slut?
Yeah, female fox, but it is what the term...
Oh, that's a shame. I think it's a lovely name.
Zora, yeah. I was just like, yeah, it's the female, you know, it's the female version. They finally gender swap Zorro. I'm so... Melissa McCartney. Zorro.
Wait, what? Zorro?
Yeah.
As in, oh, wait. Yeah,
the guy with the, he,
yeah. No, okay. But why Melissa McCarthy?
I thought it'd be funny if there was a...
Oh, the Paul Feig directs Melissa McCarthy in Zora.
Yeah, Zora, yeah. And like... Yeah.
That would
it inspires mass shooting. Some guy who's like overly online and talks about like ethics in video game journalism.
Yeah. Okay. Oh my god, they would have done that if Hillary had been elected.
If
Hillary had been elected, they would have just kept making Melissa McCarthy is action movies.
Oh, what a talent.
Do you remember that?
She can play everything.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do you have any more terribly sad things to tell me?
No, just that one, actually.
I feel like, oh man, I'm gonna have to do a lot more homework before Gear Revision.
No, because I think the podcast is fun when I get to tell you these things. But like, yeah, like, I mean,
you're very good at telling me things.
Yeah, but like, I have had people comment on like previous episodes that like I like Rim Tim Taggy better because I understand what the song is about immediately, and like I don't have to do homework to understand what's happening in Jost Klein's song.
Yeah, true.
And I wonder if they're going to do... Because they did that with the Serbian song that I really liked. They put in English subtitles, like, superimposed in the live feed for just, like, the one line of, like, all the backing singers going, like, God, give me health. And she just turns to the camera and goes, like, because I don't have insurance.
Mm.
She says that in Serbian, but they put in English subtitles because, like, this is the part everyone needs to...
Yeah, yeah.
And I want, like... If there's going to be more not English, because this is where the problem occurs,
yeah,
like when you do things not
true.
In English.
Yeah, I guess it's interesting because when they are like up-tempo songs, then you do, wow, then you do just assume, like it's harder for it to stand out among all of the other like up-tempo fun pop songs in a different language, right? Like,
I think I can't remember if I described it on mic before, but I described it as kind of like the anime theme song effect of like, anime watchers really like love lots of anime theme songs, and then it's just like, do you genuinely like this song? Because I've noticed you don't listen to anything that sounds remotely like it in the English language. Like, is the fact that this is in another language just providing like a veneer over this that makes it seem a little bit cooler than it is?
Oh, interesting.
And I think that's kind of like one of the problems you get with like songs in languages that you don't understand.
Yeah, I think it like it's kind of creates a nice distance, but I think that's the thing that, yeah, that's interesting though, because since I have a long history of deliberately seeking out like more difficult ways of consuming things because of like, you know, reading French from my childhood.
Did I tell you about that cigarette movie earlier?
Yeah. Well, no, but it's in like, I think there was a, like, I think for a while, I don't know if it connects to ADHD somehow, but I was like actively preferring reading in French because it was like, it was more difficult and like, I was more of a like, challenge to like understand things, and then I'll be reading books in English being like, understand all the words.
Oh, like, great use of the subjunctive, wanker.
Yeah. I don't have to open a dictionary once. and now I've been listening to more Turkish music, and so I'm like getting that like little pop of dopamine whenever I like understand words. And I think I hadn't thought about there being a distinction, but when it is like a bunch of different languages I don't have really any knowledge of, and there's like, it does just become like nice sounds, then it is easier to maybe, yeah, as you said, have the feeling of like, oh, this is cool because it's foreign.
Yeah, or just like, you don't, because like some people will be like, oh, lyrics are so important to my like consumption of music in my language. And then, like, we'll talk about how great a song is in a language they don't understand. I was like, well, I thought lyrics were important to you. Mm. And it's, yeah, it's just, it just kind of removes an element and you don't maybe understand how cringe the lyrics are or how good they are or whatever. Mm. But yeah, I hope people do more like superimposed subtitles. Because I was talking to Uma about the Spanish song and I was like, it'd be really cool if like every line was subtitled except for Zora. And like, and throughout the song, you kind of like, everyone else cops on to what it means.
Is that something that we could do on the live show?
Yeah, I could probably put subtitles in for like some of the songs.
Yeah, you can.
I can, yeah, I can. Yeah, yeah.
You can do anything.
I just make more work for myself.
Yeah. Oh, and the amount of work you have to do is huge. Thank God you don't have a job.
I know, right? It's so sick. Oh, this is my job now. Doing stupid videos for the internet.
This order is restored.
Oh, yeah. Any final thoughts on this year?
No.
It just kind of seems like a no.
you were going to tell me the odds. That was something that you seemed to feel like you needed to do.
Yeah. Fuck, let's do the odds, actually.
Yeah. I'm low on thoughts today.
That's fair. So, it is kind of looking like... So, I would basically put it that there is, like, four contenders for winning. It's less fixed this year.
This is what I had in my head, that you're probably going to tell me who's going to win and who's not, and I'm going to feel sad.
So Nemo from Switzerland is looking most likely.
Favorite?
Yeah.
Oh, good for them.
So basically you have two kind of like jury winners and you have two televote winners.
Yeah.
Two televote winners are Croatia and Europapa.
Croatia was the like...
Lasagna.
Oh, that's Rim Tim Taggy.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I was getting confused with the like Avril Lavigne one.
Oh, that's Czech Republic. Yeah, that's not making it to the final, unfortunately. Mainly because the live version of that song isn't very good. Mm-hmm. Studio version's quite good. No, Rim Tim Taggy Dim is set to do quite well, and people kind of like it because it was a shoestring budget. It's about like emigrating. Or like having to emigrate. He's an immigrant, like emigrant as well. He's like Croatian, but now lives full time in like Vienna, I think. Uh-huh. His girlfriend made the music video for him because it was like, we have no money to do this. Yeah, it's been really popular. That's probably a big televote win. Netherlands Europapa is another televote win that people quite like. Mm. This is the song that like other people who don't pay attention to Eurovision have like already heard. When I'm talking to people like around the continent.
Oh, okay.
It's had some success. The then two jury kind of contenders are Nemo from Switzerland and Italy's song.
Oh, okay.
La Noia.
Well, maybe I'm not going to be mad.
Yeah.
Am I right to like La Noia a bit?
Yeah, La Noia's fun.
It's a bit, it's kind of like, I think because last year didn't Italy have like Big Ballad Boy?
Yeah, Big Ballad
Just
Boy.
Just stop sending one dude to sing a ballad for your song. I think that's the thing. That's what I want to have less of.
Yeah.
Just, I want it all to be fun women and thems.
Moratorium on himbos. Only bimbos and thembos.
No, actually, no. I like the old dudes from Estonia.
Mm.
You know, I think it's just when it's like one guy old who looks like he wears too much cologne.
I think when you look like a Gillette model,
you look like a Gillette model.
Yeah, like you're like in a Gillette ad.
I don't think. Do they look like that?
Yeah, they kind of do. Like,
I feel like he's.
It's what straight guys want to look like.
Not the France guy, do they?
No, not France. Like Italy. Italy from last year.
Oh, I don't remember what he looked like. I forgot him immediately.
I'm just going to Google him and search Gillette ad.
But I feel like the Gillette ad, they look more like the Europe man from that thing that you showed me that time.
Europe guy.
And that's different.
I've
got so much shit in my head from things you've shown me, man.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
And I don't know what's real or what's not anymore.
It's all real. Now, there's been a lot of different Gillette ads, it seems. I just have like
I feel like we've somehow this podcast episode today marks a turning point in like the like slow effect that your friendship has had on my brain and my body. Like I feel wizened.
Actually, yeah. What's his name? Is that?
Oh God, that's not a real guy. That's Wesley from.
See, actor plays him.
He's the guy who plays his name's Wesley.
Yeah, it's the planning guy from the first Hunger Games.
Oh,
the architect from the first.
I just know him as being from American Beauty and that film that Zac Efron made about being a DJ.
Oh, great movie.
We Are Your Friends.
So yeah. I think I would describe the Gillette
Henry Cavill.
Yeah, Henry Cavill. I feel like Henry Cavill when he's got like, because this would be the pre. We're going to show you how great Gillette razors are. You know, he's got a bit of stubble. And then, like, clean-shaven Henry Cavill is the post. Mm. He's still got a bit of stubble. But, you know, it looks a bit more controlled.
Thing is, I've because in my personal life, I've now moved over to the handsome camp. I can't comment. I've defected.
You've defected.
I'm now pro handsome.
I'm pro hot guys. Controversial opinion.
I can't be a hypocrite. Yeah.
Hot people have had it too rough for too long.
In the pocket of big handsome.
In the pocket of big Gillette.
I think that, I saw a video of him speaking in his British accent the other day, and I was like, it's real.
No, you
burner killer.
You want like him being either American Superman or Polish The Witcher.
That's not my he's not my vibe anyway. I feel like he definitely is too handsome because he kind of has no discernible features in that way somehow.
Yeah, like that's what I mean. That's the kind of like Gillette ad man.
Too smooth to be distinguishable from a mannequin.
Yes. It's like it is generic handsome.
Yeah.
Ugh. And you hate hot people.
I love non-generic handsome. We all, you and I are.
We all want the woman from Ratatouille. I'm just like, you're not objectively hot, but you are sexy. That's also Berlin. No one's hot, but everyone's sexy.
True. It's so weird when you meet people who are really like hot but not sexy, you know?
Yeah, oh, that's such a thing.
Like you're just like, what are you doing?
Swedish Instagram models that are in Meta on the weekends. Yeah.
I saw an Instagram post reading that said that Julia Fox says that she thinks that ugliness is going to be desirable in a few years' time. She's like, I think that the stretch marks that on people's skin, the patterns they make, are beautiful. And when everyone can have lip fillers and smoothed over wrinkles, then laugh lines are going to be gorgeous.
Can I say something controversial?
You don't know who Julia Fox is?
No, I do. Absolutely. We've talked about Julia Fox lots of times.
Okay.
I think on this podcast and also personally. But also, that is the opinion of someone who is hot but not sexy. That is the opinion of someone that, like, a hot person that's not sexy would say something like that.
Actually, yeah, I suppose she isn't sexy, but I think it's because she's too strange.
No, in a way that,
is
strange can be sexy.
But I think, maybe you're right. Oh my God! Wow! This is the new binary.
Yeah. Sexy and hot don't necessarily always go together.
No, they definitely don't. Yeah. And that's,
they can.
They can very rarely.
Very rarely.
But it is, and that's why we lift those people up as gods. But we need to, be more.
The leaders of our businesses and countries are the sexy and hot people.
Yeah. But we do need to be We do need to be more strict with people. In terms of like, okay, sure, you're hot, but you're not sexy, and therefore. Not interesting to me. You know, I think we need to this is my society.
This is your society.
This is my vision for society, is where we have a wider and more celebrated variety of sexiness and don't just limit it to hotness.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Yeah, take that Gillette ads from I guess probably my childhood, because I think they've changed since.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I think I'm just mad at some 22-year-olds who came into the restaurant the other day.
Yeah, fuck those guys.
And snuck Yeah, you're hot, but you're not sexy. Stop wearing clothes from 2002. It's making me feel weird.
You weren't there. You weren't a part of the Black Parade.
No, 2002. They're wearing the ugly skirts that I tried to wear when I was 12, and then they didn't work, and I was like, oh, no. Well, now they're wearing them when they're 22, and then they look normal.
Why? As a 12-year-old, am I not hot?
Exactly. So hot.
Oh, the things we do to children is upsetting. All right. So, that was our Eurovision analysis.
I think I learned a lot, and especially the listener did.
Yes, absolutely.
You need to write in to Kieran and tell them if tell Kieran if you're hot or sexy
or both.
If you're both, then we don't want to hear from you.
Yeah, shut the fuck up.
You have better things to do. You should go save
don't
society.
Don't listen to a podcast.
But I want to know if you self-identify as hot or sexy, and you can only be one.
Yeah. If you're both, you do not listen to this podcast. As people who've been listening for a while know, Only Mr. God Knows is a calculated content marketing scheme to get people to come to Eurovision. But now, Eurovision in Berlin is now officially sold out. All tickets are gone. We first sold out, and then we asked Josie if we could have more people, and she was like sure. And
anything's possible.
Now those tickets are sold out and there's not any more, so that's it. But twitch.tv/cornerspatey will be a live stream of it. We will have to do things to make sure it doesn't get immediately shut down. I'm thinking of putting in a picture of Jeremy Fragrance covering the entire screen at like 5% opacity to stop all the bots from automatically detecting when like copyrighted footage is playing.
Oh no, really?
Yeah, you're gonna have to do things like that.
What?
Yeah, so I know some streams that do that where I know a stream that has like a picture of Liz Truss at like 5% opacity just taking over the whole screen to stop the bots from recognizing copyrighted material.
Wow. Yeah. Wait, can we do a different picture than that?
Than Jeremy Fragrance, because he upsets you.
Oh no, Jeremy Fragrance. Okay, yeah, I was just met a different one than Liz Truss. But you can.
Jeremy Fragrance.
Jeremy Fragrance.
Unproblematic.
Jeremy Fragrance does still upset me. We do a picture of my mum?
That'd be so much worse. Is your mom a fragrance influencer?
I'm so into my mom today.
My mom, Google.
I think I need to call her. Okay, that's cool. You should definitely stream it because I think Nick, when I last spoke to Nick a few weeks ago when we recorded the Irish Wish episode, we had a long riff about doing a performance together that I don't know if he's forgotten about, but I might try and make him do with me now. And this is how he's finding out, Nick.
I'm not sure he'll listen to this, but anyway.
Yeah.
I will see you. Well, only Mr. God knows when.
Oh, is that the sign off?
That's the sign off.
Oh, wow.
What do you think?
Only Mr. God knows when.
It's such a clunky sentence.
What about Ms. God? What about Ms. Goddess?
I met God and she said.
Only Ms. Goddess knows what.
I like the idea of like, again, well-meaning, but it's like only Mrs. God knows. Like it's a Mrs. Claus situation. Yeah, there's a Mr. God somewhere else. Yeah. Oh, anyway, yeah, this is the end of the podcast.